Good morning and welcome again to the L. Nelson Bell Sunday School class here in Graham Chapel. My name is Walter Somerville. I'll be teaching again today as John Akers is still out of town. We've started a short series on the big picture of Scripture, understanding that the Bible is not just a collection of 66 random books, but that it is one story from beginning to end. And it tells us about creation, fall, redemption, and restoration. The Bible tells us how everything began. It then tells us what went wrong. It tells us how things are going to be fixed. And ultimately, how is it going to be in the end? This is one great story in which God reveals to us who he is. It's really important to remember, God is the hero of the Bible. And he reveals himself to us through his word. And God's goal in this wonderful story is to redeem mankind and restore our broken relationship. Last week, we took a close look at creation. God created the world out of nothing, simply by speaking. He established things like work, marriage, and Sabbath rest. And everything that God created was intended to reflect his glory. And man was the crowning jewel of this creation. Man was created in the image of God, and he had an intimate relationship with his creator. Man trusted God, and God provided blessing to man. When God created everything, it was good, and everything was as it should be. Kelly Capick is a professor at Covenant College, and he writes this description. Imagine the world utterly new, God's gladness glistening on the wet garden, far-flung forests drenched with dew and pools of light, beginning to bud, swell, and sway for the first time. Living creatures freely move on the land and in the sea. Birds fly above the earth and across the expanse of the heavens. A bright river flowing out of Eden splashes its way through the rich forest floor and divides into four separate headwaters that spill into lands of gold, bdellium, and onyx. Imagine all of this brand new bounty, fruit and flowers, unfurling. It's a beautiful picture, but it's not familiar to most of us. This is not the world that we live in today. It's hardly recognizable when we read descriptions of what it may have been like. Instead, our world struggles with pain, suffering, abuse, brokenness, and death. Here are just a few examples that I've noticed in my life. Marriages that are destroyed by infidelity and deceit. Families torn apart by greed, self-centeredness, lies, and pride. Women abused by their husbands. Racist statements that are intended to demean and degrade. Anxiety, fear, addiction, and depression, disability, disease, and the progressive struggles of age. The horror and shock on the face of a young girl who has just discovered the body of her father moments after he shot himself. This is not the way God intended things to be. Our lesson today comes from Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. Again, this is a relatively long passage, but we need to read all of it. Now, the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?" The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it or you will die." "You will not certainly die," the serpent said to the woman, "for God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye, and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man, "Where are you?" And he answered, "I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid." And he said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from?" The man said, "The woman you put here with me, she gave me some fruit from the tree, and I ate it." And the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this you have done?" And the woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." So the Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and all wild animals. You will crawl on your belly and you will eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head and you will strike his heel." To the woman, he said, "I will make your pains in childbearing very severe. With painful labor, you will give birth to children. Your desire will be for your husband, and he will rule over you." To Adam, he said, "Because you listened to your wife and ate fruit from the tree about which I commanded you, you must not eat from it. Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil, you will eat food from it all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your brow, you will eat your food until you return to the ground, since from it you were taken. For dust you are, and to dust you will return." Adam named his wife Eve, because she would become the mother of all the living. The Lord God made garments of skin for Adam and his wife and clothed them. And the Lord God said, "The man has now become like one of us, knowing good and evil. He must not be allowed to reach out his hand and take also from the tree of life and eat and live forever." So the Lord God banished him from the Garden of Eden to work the ground from which he had been taken. After he drove the man out, he placed on the east side of the Garden of Eden cherubim and a flaming sword flashing back and forth to guard the way to the tree of life. We'll call today's lesson, "How Things Came to Be Broken." And I have 3 points. The fall of man, the consequences of the fall, and the reality of the fall. Let's begin with the fall of man. When we look at creation, we see a picture of perfection. There was perfect harmony, trust, goodness, and man experienced true intimacy with his Creator God. But as we said, that's not the way we see things today. Something has gone terribly wrong. And when we look at Genesis chapter 3, we discover the answer. First of all, let's get a little background. When God had created the world and put man in the garden, he gave man one restriction: do not eat the fruit of one tree. Man could eat from every other tree but this one. You could call this the law. It is the one rule that could not be broken. And the punishment for breaking that law was clear: death. It certainly seemed simple enough, but man made a tragic choice. In our passage, we're introduced to a very cunning serpent. This serpent lies, deceives, and tempts man to break God's law. And we later learn that this serpent is associated with Satan. And he plants the seed of doubt, and he questions the word of God. Did God really say you can't do that? Does God really have your good in mind? Are you sure he will punish your actions? All things we may be guilty of asking ourselves. Well, this doubt then led to disbelief. You will not die. God is not who you think he is. You can't trust him. He doesn't want you to know all things. He is worried you will become like him. And so this disbelief then leads to disobedience. The man and the woman tasted the forbidden fruit. Put simply, they took something that was not theirs to take. They disobeyed. In fact, they disobeyed the express word of the Lord. They chose to believe lies, and they chose not to trust God, their Father and Creator. Here, man has put everything at risk and rejected the authority of God. Now, to be honest, we too don't like being told what we can and can't do. And ever since the fall, we have all been inclined to reject the right of another to make rules, and we long to break those rules to show our own independence. The fall of man. Secondly, the consequences of the fall. In verse 9, we see God walking in the garden, calling to man, "Adam, where are you?" Leslie Newbegin describes this way: it is the cry of a mother whose child has run away in a crowded supermarket. It's a cry of anguish, a mixture of wrath and love. And it's a cry that will echo right through the Bible as this loving and holy God seeks the children, the foolish, stupid, unbelieving children who have run away because they thought they could find out for themselves better than God could tell them. It simply was not God's intention that we would know evil. His desire that we would understand good and that we would trust him with everything else. But Genesis 3 describes how this trust was broken through disobedience. And the result of this disobedience was guilt, shame, and sorrow. Suddenly, man's eyes were opened, and he recognized that he was naked and vulnerable. And man was now subject to death. So Adam and Eve hid from God, the one who had made them, the one who had blessed them, who had put them in a perfect, good world, the one with whom they had had the ultimate relationship. So there were several immediate consequences to this. First, God condemned the serpent. He was forced to crawl forever upon the ground, and he would engage in constant warfare with man. And eventually, he was going to be crushed, a reference to Satan's future. Well, God also punished the man and the woman. The woman would experience great pain in childbirth, and the man would find frustration in work. Remember, childbirth and work had both been part of God's good creation, but now they were distorted, difficult, and painful. In addition, Adam and Eve were both banished from this garden, this perfect home that God had made for them. There were also long-term consequences. Man was no longer what God had intended him to be. Man now knew evil. He lost fellowship with God and was separated from his Creator. Man had been created to glorify God, but would now seek to glorify himself. There's a real sense in which one of the key results of the fall is that we are no longer truly human. The image of God, while still intact in each one of us, has been deeply marred. And man would no longer be able to fulfill the purpose he was created for. He would no longer reflect the glory and the character of God. In short, man was no longer the way he was created to be. Man would now face death, both physical and spiritual. Paul says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." And ultimately, this death is a permanent separation from the Creator, our Father. It's also important to note that all of creation was affected by man's choice. Every animal, bird, rock, tree, and blade of grass would suffer. Paul tells us in Romans 8, "For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together." Everything in creation, everything has been blighted and cursed ever since. Three, we have the reality of the fall. The fall has introduced a dark and very powerful new element into this grand story. Sin has now entered the world, and it has corrupted all of God's creation. Sin basically means to miss the mark. God's law is our standard for behavior. It's the mark that we are aiming for. And when we fail to conform to God's law, we sin. We're not doing what we're supposed to do. It's like crossing a line. It's like breaking a rule. It's like trespassing. On a deeper level, sin is a condition of our hearts. It is rebellion against God. It's a refusal to accept his authority. And it's an attempt to put ourselves in his place. In fact, this is what really puts us at odds with God. We want to remove him and replace him with ourselves. We want to be God-like. And the Bible is really clear about this. That is idolatry. When we seek to put something other than God in his place, John Stott writes this: sin is the revolt of the self against God, the dethronement of God with a view to the enthronement of oneself. Ultimately, sin is self-deification, the reckless determination to occupy the throne which belongs to God alone. And even the smallest of sins puts us at odds with our Creator. The Bible makes it clear, we all miss the mark. In Romans 3, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And as heirs to Adam and Eve, we have inherited their fallen condition. We are born with a desire to live for ourselves and not for God. So we are alienated from our Maker, and we are now slaves to this evil we call sin. And sin has so permeated us that we cannot choose what is right. We continue to be filled with doubt, disbelief, and a disobedience that leads to death. Last week, I read a little bit by Paul Tripp. Instruments in the Redeemer's Hand is a great book if you ever want to read. And he writes this that describes the reality of things today. In the most rebellious act ever committed, man and woman stepped outside of God's ordained plan. In a second, it all came crashing down. All of the amazing beauty of that world was deeply and permanently scarred. In an instant, fear, guilt, and shame became standard human experiences. People who once lived in perfect harmony now accused, deceived, and fought for control. Weeds and disease became daily concerns. People began to desire what was evil and do what was wrong. Rather than submit to God's authority, they lived as their own gods. The world that once sang the song of perfection now groaned under the weight of the fall. Sin altered every thought, desire, word, and deed. It created a world of double-mindedness and mixed motives, self-worship and self-absorption. People desired to be served, but they hated serving. They craved control and nurtured delusions of self-sufficiency. They forgot their Creator, but they worshiped His creation. Rather than loving people and using things to express it, people loved things and used people to get them. Humanity's second generation even committed murder. They began to lie, cheat, hide, and deny. People suffered at the hands of others, from momentary thoughtlessness to unspeakable acts of physical and sexual abuse. And for the first time, people wept from grief within and suffering without. The fall is a very sobering part of our story. It is also essential to understanding and appreciating the work of Christ. If you do not understand where we came from and how things went wrong, you can never fully appreciate what is about to happen. We were all made for something we no longer have. We were made to be something we no longer are. Picture a great masterpiece, perhaps your favorite work of art. It's created by a great artist with a lot of talent. It's breathtaking in its detail, its brilliance, and its imagery. But then someone comes in with a knife and rips it to shreds. And we are left with something in ruins that is a shadow of its former self. Now, we are much greater than any painting. But you can't understand the Bible until you understand where we are. Whether we realize it or not, we are alienated from God, and we seek to make ourselves God-like. But we are condemned to separation from God forever. We are dead in our sins. But like that painting, we are desperately in need of restoration. We need someone outside of ourselves to restore us again to be the masterpiece God intended us to be. And that is the story yet to come. Again, the fall is a sobering part of our story. It's a chapter that's sometimes difficult to read without tears. But God's grace was present even at the moment of that terrible choice. The Bible says that God covered the man and the woman with animal skins. This first shedding of blood, the blood of animals, was to cover their nakedness and their shame. And this would be the first of thousands of sacrifices to come. And they would all point to the day when God would not just take an animal, but his own son, and sacrifice him for us. He would be the final, perfect sacrifice. God's plan of salvation is already well underway, even in the midst of this story. In Genesis 3:15, there was the first hint. To the serpent, God said, "I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head, and you will strike his heel." Even in the middle of pronouncing judgment, there is hope. And we know the offspring of this woman is going to be Jesus Christ. Satan will attack him, but Christ will destroy him in the end. And with him, evil, sin, and death shall all be defeated. This is God's story. And get ready, because the best is yet to come. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word, and thank you for how you reveal yourself to us. And we thank you for this difficult passage, but we thank you that from this, you came to save and deliver us. And we look forward, Father, to understanding your grace more fully and completely in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.